CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. It is a good morning. It's the 20th of May. It's just after 7 o'clock. That's a little collective soul. And what is it called again? How do you love? Very nice. Very nice.
Average morning at best.
Oh, come on. Stop being such a curmudgeonly ass.
Fool of a took. Do you mean that it is a morning to be good in? That it is the morning that good will come of? Or is it,
You fool of a took.
Wishing me a good morning. Do you mean that the morning itself is good, or that it is a morning to be doing good in, or that the morning itself is upon good tidings? All of them at once, Gandalf.
You fool of a took.
Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest with each other in future and just greet each other like day, ongoing life, more.
Jesus, really?
So not good day, not good morning.
When you say, like,
why don't you morning. Suck the joy out of everything that is a genuine...
I'm making room for the joy. Oh. I'm allowing space for the joy. If we just filled everything up with gray, then there is no color. If you hollow out the meaninglessness of most days, then when there's a little puff of something good happening, it will feel... You can't have... You need fish in the fish tank. You can't fill it with nothing.
Is this related to your gray Addis Tupperware? Because...
Well, you mean my Addis Greyback? I guarantee you that these 40,000 WhatsApps, that's probably why we're having connection issues, because people are just flooding us with comments like, I too own
an Addis Grey.
Addis Greybacks. Yeah. None of them are quite the same size, and I've never bought one in my life. I don't think you can even sell them.
All right, a message from Eddie. Eddie says, I understand why Gord stopped smoking weed. It makes me uncomfortable, paranoid, insecure, and completely depressed, and I analyze and overthink. I'm not saying weed is bad. It's good for some, bad for others. My friends smoke it in front of me. However, I might have a mental health reaction to it. It's like a mental allergy.
Wow. It just makes me eat bloody everything.
Okay. I agreed with Gord on The Last Dance. It's so far been awesome to watch. I'm not a basketball fan at all, but it is very interesting. On sports-related matters... The Dude Perfect commentary is also an interesting watch. If you're a fan of their YouTube channel, it's great. That's Daniel in Dubai. The Dude Perfect documentary. Do you know about this, Mbulelo? You know what Dude Perfect is? I'm really out of the loop on this one. I mean, I don't even watch
I've never
mainstream
heard of
live
Perfect.
Sport. Yeah.
I mean, I know what Dude Perfect means as in like a term, but I thought it was a movie or
no,
something.
No, these guys have a YouTube channel, and now they've got a documentary. So no.
Oh, okay.
I'm afraid you're ahead of us on that one, dude. Sorry. That's Daniel in Dubai.
And The Last Dance is seriously cool, even if you don't care about basketball at all.
Yeah. Stefania says, hey, team, I'm one of those ridiculous people who go out at 7 p.m. and blow my vuvuzela. It's not about honoring people anymore. It's just to make a damn noise and get my frustrations out. Three vuvuzelas, some duck noise. We even have some kind of a tune going. If you listen carefully, we play that song, Fuck This Lockdown. Peace and love, Stefania. Yeah, people are doing that.
Am I the only one who didn't know it was a trend?
No, but you did tell us on Monday. You told us that you go out and make a noise. You scream.
No, those were people in LA. At least like they're going out and screaming. I didn't know the vuvuzela thing.
Yeah, the people in South Africa do that with vuvuzela.
Sure, okay.
Hey, guys, go shopping at Spa. They have a promo to collect stickers, and you get Pyrex dishes at 50% of the price, just like an old lady. People are full of Tupperware advice, as predicted, Gord.
Yeah, I think it's like also at some point they end up with the same thing. They're going to end up with like millions of lids, and they're going to one day notice that like they can find a way to bulk buy bodies that match these lids. That's become like a warehouse problem for them. And so that's when you end up with these really cheap Tupperware specials, because they're just trying to balance it. It's like a high pressure and low pressure system. It's like virtual particles that cancel each other out at vastly different distances in space.
Yeah.
Tupperware lids and their bodies have to exist in pairs. That's why when at the end of the universe there's going to be only Hawking radiation and fucking lids of Tupperware floating around clashing into each other in space.
Yonder says, holy smoke, we're talking about Tupperware. I actually bought a new one on Sunday. I had some for a year or two, but kept losing some when I cook and some ladies decide to take my food. And before I know, I had nothing. So maybe buy cheaper ones.
You live in a low pressure Tupperware system. Where obviously your Tupperware positron Tupperware is moving to equal out with the high pressure system of someone else nearby.
Oh my God. Yeah. Dude. Perfect. Dude, perfect. Do amazing trick shots. Apparently this is their thing with various stuff, but usually guns, just some extremely talented people with aim. Okay.
Between trick shots and guns, I think my mind has just short circuited a bit.
All right. Yeah. I'm also a little bit lost in this dude perfect thing, but I'll do some internet researching, which basically means just browsing between meetings today.
Things when you start getting into catchy terms like dude perfect, you want to be within the YouTube environment when you start searching for that. Because I just have a feeling that could take you somewhere unforeseen otherwise.
Francois says he enjoys this discussion about Tupperware, but can he please hear the Decimal Dan the Rand Cent Man episode again? What a Dan, classic. He listened
the
to
Rand Cent Man gives you rods for cents whenever he can, and everything is even and everything's the same except for tuppence where we give you three because fuck you. We worked everything out to be a one-for-one trade except for pennies and threepences, because fuck you.
Isn't that the
I love that recent update.
Like that. Imagine if the government released a song like Decimal Dan.
After all the laughing and hilarity because of the ridiculous lyrics and the ridiculous drawing and the ridiculous accent, I was still stuck on the fact that the fucking Oak literally gave you a rundown of all the things you swap for things of like a five you swap for a five and a six for a six, a seven for a seven and an eight for an eight and three ones for a four. There's like some fatal problem with the maths in that shit. And I was like, this just doesn't work for me.
Just to bring everybody else on board, if you missed this, this is an episode from a long time ago and Francois dug it out and he's still listening to it. Where we came across this clip called Decimal Dan, which is basically it was a public service announcement that was put out by the government when they changed the currency from the pound in South Africa to the rand. So it must have been like what, like 1940 something.
It was around. It was quite an apartheid-y sort of time, probably the 40s.
Apartheid-y sort of
time.
All right, Anushka's got some comments on Tupperware. Who knew that this was the subject that we were meant to? We were slowly plodding towards this apotheosis.
It's not COVID, so we can talk about it.
Yeah. So I have the new types of Tupperware, says Anushka. I don't skimp on good Tupperware, and I write my name under the bowl and under the lid.
Going next level commitment. I've still got Tupperwares with my names on from when I worked at FHM in the early 2000s.
And she says, I also have ice cream tubs of all my sister-in-laws because I don't have time for those hoes.
Oh, Anushka, that's your sister-in-law.
Yeah, I would presume she means her sister-in-law loses everything.
Yeah,
it's a really good reason to buy more ice cream.
Oh no, please!
The fact that you need the tubs in case relatives come over.
I ate pizza last night, and I'm feeling so guilty.
I actually have ice cream in the freezer, but then I kind of very occasionally. It takes me a long time to get through it because it freezes so damn hard in the freezer. Most check your privilege problem anyone's ever had. I would like some ice cream, but I'll get it out of the freezer. It'll be rock hard, and I'll try like saw through it with a bread knife to like carve a piece out. And then I'm just like, either I do it and then traumatized from effort and it's ruined my mellow, or I look at it and then I go, fuck this thing. And I put it sadder because I not only don't have ice cream like I didn't have just now, but I've looked at the ice cream and decided no.
Who was that puss that debated you over YouTube the other day? What a complete and utter imbecile. That's from Eddie. That's like 2 weeks ago now. It was some guy. I went on a show that I thought I'd be interviewed by Reedy Clubby, and it ended up being like a debate, but it wasn't really a debate because it was the host and this other guy against me, and I didn't know who he was. Anyway, I fucked them up. That's all that you need to know.
In summary, I fucked them up. In the one corner, it was some puss and another puss who Gareth thought he was going to be speaking with. And in the red corner, Gareth Cliff.
Yeah, I'm
so there's so much.
All that matters is I won. That's all I took away from that experience.
In conclusion,
does this point towards people being shitty this last week or two? We were touching on that earlier.
No, not at all. All right, here's someone made a point about this TB and HIV. Also, imagine how many more kids will be born due to coronavirus. Well, I don't know about that because I listened to a really interesting interview with a guy the other day who is like a sex therapist, relationship expert, and he was saying in China, as soon as they got out of lockdown, there was a huge run on divorces and not the birth rates that they're predicting from 9 months from now. So actually, some people are having more sex, sure. But across the board, there are also a huge number of divorces that are going to happen.
And you've got people like me that are willing to literally chew off one of their limbs and then carry the limb that they chewed off if they're allowed to have conjugal visits again. Most people who are boning to pass the time because they're isolating with a consensual sex partner would otherwise also be living with said consensual sex partner. So while a boredom and a bit of end of the world panic might influence you to shag a bit more, you're living with someone who you normally shag. I normally get a few innings at bat as a freelancer.
Didn't you have a conjugal visit at some point during lockdown already?
No. But my it was definitely something that I would consider. But I did manage to get a black market haircut. That might be with the stories that you're getting confused. But the point is a lot of people like me have had their chance of accidental pregnancy reduced from chance to nothing. unless the sperm fairies come and fly in the window, remove it from me while I'm sleeping, carry it in one of their little frozen polystyrene encrusted Medicare live goods in transit bag and rush it for a sperm transplant into the vagina of a woman for a miraculous future messiah situation, it's not happening to me. There's nothing that's been in this house or lives in this house is getting pregnant.
Oh, God. But I don't mean to scare a lot of people. It is also a little too early to tell. If people were starting to get freaky and deaky while the lockdown just started, that's a good 7 weeks.
And by the way,
it's make it much harder to have sex for everyone.
By the way, because people have children doesn't mean that that's the only kind of sex they were having. You know, children is not a measure of how sexually voracious your population is during a lockdown. I mean, people might be compromising. They might have all kinds of techniques to prevent children from entering.
I'm pretty sure keeping the penis away from the vagina is a pretty good way of reducing the amount of babies.
I know people who've had conjugal visits.
Oh, I know people who are having conjugal, like they're spending 3 weeks at the one person's house and then 3 weeks at the other having actual house parties on the weekend. Stitches get stitches. I'm not here to – I've been for a pirate haircut. I went and did the Robin Hood the cigarette distribution amongst my homies, which made me feel like an outlaw hero.
Paul, as we were talking about sex and then you mentioned mission, I didn't know where this was going.
Yeah, so me and Blackie Chan, there was an O that came to look at a plumbing issue. He briefly popped by. The washing machine dude's been back twice. He's starting to look really good in the right light. Where the washing machine is, I've got blinds just next to there that can feel like you wouldn't believe. I just want women, please. I'm willing to accidentally make them pregnant if that's what the only option left is.
Right, you know what? I think there needs to be a new sexual orientation classification. You aren't gay. You're just, 7 weeks into lockdown.
Yeah, I'm also not one of those things. I'm a person locked up in my house.
Yeah, he's not an incel. Hang on. Nikki's got some interesting advice, and this is a great idea, speaking of gay. So Nikki wants to start an online business. And Nikki, I think you must go and register this immediately. Buy and sell mismatched Tupperware lids and bowls. Call it tops or bottoms. That is such a clever...
Buy and sell them.
But that's such a brilliant... Come on, that's a brilliant idea.
So true.
You might create a lot of antimatter if you put...
Here's somebody who says, Chris,
place where you can...
Chris says two of his friends have announced lockdown babies.
Look, I'm not doubting that people will get pregnant because that's just how life happens. I'm just saying I can see two factors, people boning more out of boredom or like increased proximity. And I think that that's a realistic thing, but it's not going to take people who were otherwise not having any sex or very little. I don't think that's going to be as huge of a factor as keeping a lot of horny people away from each other. Houses.
Well, Marianne says, if you have children already, it's a good indicator of how little sex you'll be having during lockdown. That's a good point.
Thanks.
So Marianne being very, very refreshingly honest there. And then Sean has this to say.
Morning, guys. So I've got a video clip. I work in this field in line of the new hospital being built in Port Elizabeth. The emergency station, if you want to call it that. But it is fucking eerie. It really is eerie. There's also a cold room where they will store the dead until they can be taken away in this facility. But this is directly opposite, and there's no passageway or hallway, so it's in full view of the ICU patients. So if you get to that stage, you've got problems because you're going to literally be staring death in the eyes.
So Sean, did you hear that? Sean is like, he's helping involved with building that hospital in PE, which is especially for COVID. And they've got like a big cold room for storing all the bodies.
Well, if your week wasn't going badly before, now it's time for downers with Sean. Give us your fucking worst. Well, there's a room specially refrigerated for the people who have not made it, but it's handy because it's just over there. Please could you move 17194 to somewhere else?
I actually had to stop myself from tapping my foot because I was tapping my foot along, and I'm like, no, what am I condoning?
Oh, Jesus, that's hilarious. Jesus. All right.
So when you're literally staring at the
with Sean's Wednesday Downer.
All right. Did you hear the MEC farting yesterday? I know this is probably old news because, you know, WhatsApp has made it goes around like wildfire. But the MEC for Health in the Eastern Cape, who's probably building that hospital, she's Suzad in the middle of an interview. Listen to this. Listen to this quickly. This is hilarious. It was quite a big... bold fart, actually. I mean, the microphone is probably at chest height, and it picked it up like it was right at her ass cheeks. Listen to this.
To ensure a prevention approach to health giving, equally embedded in primary health care, which then will suggest that we are going to have...
Ash, so she's scissored right there in the microphone.
I don't want to accept this as real because this is so embarrassing if it is.
And then she went, I'm sorry about that, and carried on.
No.
It's amazing how things in your life can like traumatize you forever. I remember we were doing choral verse in like, what must it have been, like grade 3, standard 1, and I said a line wrong that was like the next Oaks line, and I was so mortified. It was like a practice. It didn't even matter.
Yeah.
But like I was so mortified. I felt like a piece of myself died. It's never come back.
Coral
and
like
birds. Also one time I farted while I was being examined by my doctor. And like, I just have never gotten past. And the doctor was like, ach, no, it was nothing. And I was just... losing like the color in my face just thinking about it.
So did you totally change doctors, right? And you've deleted your ID documents in his file?
No, I had to kill him, unfortunately. So apologies to everybody else that did surgery in 1996.
Also sounds rational to me.
All right, so Gord, I know you want to talk to Joe and just... I know...
I do.
Yeah,
Last time I spoke to George, I said that rainy days were coming and people needed to get their shit together. And as I look outside to my outside of my room, I see the metaphorical rainy weather.
So, Joe, look at this. All your doomsday predictions have come true. Joe Camino, how are you, man?
I'm great, Gareth. How are you doing?
Go to hell, Joe.
I know you didn't read all those books, but anyway, how do you like what's behind me, Gareth?
What do you got there? You've got a Let's Grow Weed Together.
Don't mention it.
Is that a political poster with like Jacob Zuma in it?
That's Cyril.
Oh, is it Cyril? And it says, Let's Grow Weed Together. That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I found it on a poll.
So, Joe, the last time we spoke to you, you basically told us how we're all fucked. And that you go around to the ATMs and you pick up the slips and then you see how deep in the trouble people are. And Gord was saying, yep, when I mentioned that you're going to come on the show just now, it's like, uh-oh. Because even when the sun is shining and there's freshly minted money being made, Gord says, Joe's going to come in and tell you how screwed you are. And that's what you did for us last time, right?
Well, kind of, you know, but I guess the issue is, you know, even like with my business right now, obviously we're not doing any face-to-face training, so there's no income coming in. But being debt-free,
yeah,
you know, I've got just running costs. So I don't have a home payment, a car payment, credit card, you know, any of that. So that's where it's hurting a lot of people. And had they followed some of my advice and, you know, start working on getting debt-free, much easier to go through this. However, you're going to have a lot of people who are unemployed in a two-family income home. And I mean, it's serious, you know?
Yeah.
And so to talk to you about some things that you need to do to put in place so that you can get through this for however long it lasts.
Well, okay. I don't even know where to start with this because this is like the tidal wave, tsunami, volcano eruption, clusterfuck of all possible outcomes for people who were already in financial trouble. And now you've got to help us figure out, like, if there's any way out of this. I mean, where do we even start, Joe? Come on, hit us.
Okay.
Hit us with the biggest shot first, and then we can work back from that.
Okay, the biggest shot is I want to send out a shout out to the worldwide audience. I got my twin sister in Hawaii, my beautiful twin sister, listening, mm-hmm. Okay, where good. It's always summer. Uh-huh. Okay, first, I'm going to start with, don't use your home as an ATM. You know, a lot of people are contemplating taking out additional loans to pay this off and that off, but there's big long-term costs. And you know, when you hear that statement, we want to be your helping hands for life, believe that. Done before is I've taken all the bank slogans and put them together, and it kind of shows you who they are.
Okay, go for it.
So when you hear, we want to be your helping hands for life, we want to take your money simpler, better, faster. We want to take it yesterday, today, and tomorrow. How can we help you today? Caution, red flags, everything should go up. You know, those days of the, I've been with this bank for 25 years. The banks don't care, you know, and as we do a lot of our corporate and government training, I've run into a lot of types of people that had all these ideas going forward, you know, and now they find out how they screwed up because they've been, you know, most people have been trained to work hard.
Yeah.
The government lets you and pay all the bills and live on what's left. And that's what they do. And is that what life's all about? I mean, they're keeping up with the Jones, the Motepis, I do's. A minute.
Hold
Gareth
on.
Clip audience.
Hold on a second. We just lost you. You said you were talking about keeping up with the Joneses and the Motepis and the Naidus, and then we lost you.
Imagine this for a second. No home bond, no car loans, no credit card debt. Mm. How does that feel? You know, if you don't change what you're doing, I can pretty much say your finances are going to stay a problem.
So, Joe,
feel people in the traffic.
I'm gonna get personal on this one because I've made a couple of decisions, and you tell me if you think these are good decisions or not. So, first of all, I'm gonna sell my car and I'm gonna buy the cheapest, nastiest little car imaginable because I'm not gonna be traveling as much anyway. I don't think any of us are. I'm going to buy something that just goes on the smell of an oil rag and that I can pay for in cash. And seriously, that I can pay for in cash, and I'm selling this car that I've got for whatever it's worth, And that's one thing I'm wiping out. I don't have any credit card debt, but I do have a home bond, and I've got to get that down to the lowest possible level, even though the interest rates have come down and will probably come down even more this week. It's still not good to have any debt in that respect. Now, what else can I do? I mean, I'm going around switching off geysers. I'm turning off lights that are on that don't need to be on. What else can I do?
You sound like my mom. Boom, turn that light off.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Let's talk about the car. Great move. Because your problem you're going to run into, though, is, as you know, what the car market is like currently.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get anything close to what you want. But if you're going to dump it, get rid of it, because not only will you not have a payment anymore, but then your car insurance should come down. And that's one of the issues I was going to talk with your listeners about. You've got to lower your car insurance premiums. You know, sometimes you call your current insurer and they jerk you around and then they lower it $100. But if you went out and got three different quotes, mm-hmm. Secret is they're going to ask you what you're currently paying. Don't tell them. Because if you tell them you're paying $800 and on their books it's $400, they may come back with $650 because yeah. This is a commissionable sale here. So don't tell them. Then call, after you get that lowest quote, call your current insurer back and go, listen, my car's come down. You need to lower my premium. I got this other quote. Match it or I'm going to switch. And then they're probably going to match it for you. But you need to take control of that. It should come down every year anyway. So first, very good thing you're doing, okay?
Okay.
You might even, I don't know, liability, depending upon how cheap of a car you get. You know, if you insure it for full coverage, you know, what are they going to give you? $100,000? You know, you might want to just do liability. And if you're not a crazy driver, like some people I know, you know, you don't get into accidents, liability of, hey, you get in an accident, you take care of them. Okay. You got to buy a new car, but you know, that's the price of doing business kind of thing. You know what
okay.
I mean? Because what I've gone through with insurance, you know, whenever you file for something, they always come back with these stipulations, these problems, and all the other good stuff.
Right, I'm taking notes here. So we got the car. We've got the car insurance. What else?
Well, you know, I got this guy here, Burkwater Plumbing. He's installed two geyser wires. It's this thing they come and put on your geyser, so you can actually tell when the geyser comes on and when the geyser goes off. So I have the geyser that just goes on in the morning because it stays warm all morning. You know what I mean? So at 5 o'clock, it kicks on. By 6:37, it's full. No more geyser the rest of the day. Don't have to keep turning it on and off, but it has the availability of, you can set it for different times on and off. But it saved me quite a lot of money. I mean, at my house, I pay about $1,200 a month in electricity, and I got a 4-bedroom dual geysers pool, beautiful property. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's another good point. Okay. Let me see what else. So that's what you're doing. What I want to do is I want to state this. It's very, very important. A lot of people staying home have had a couple months almost now of not using credit cards. That's a beautiful thing. We've been indoctrinated to use these credit cards. And imagine, listeners, if every time you used your credit card, they came out with a new credit contract for you to sign. Mm-hmm. You're in credit. So imagine if they came out with that 3-page credit contract. You would feel that. But you don't feel it anymore. All you do is you're swiping your way, or even now you're tapping your way to the poorhouse.
Oh, my God.
So quit using credit cards. You're living above your means. When you don't have the money, you need to admit you don't have the money. You know, for the ladies, what I like to say is, because they're major shoppers. You know, I love shopping myself. I love it. But anyway, when's the last time, ladies, you went to a till and you had 1,500 grand's worth of stuff, but you only had 800 grand's worth of money?
Yeah.
Back and put this back, and most of you now.
I don't see people putting stuff back. It doesn't happen, right?
You got enough. Pardon?
No, I don't. I've never seen people putting stuff back anymore in the shop. You used to see that. Now people just whip out the credit card.
Card was declined.
Sorry.
Here, use this one now. That's right. The alternate.
Yeah, so if someone's card doesn't work the first time, they just pull out a second one.
Bingo. And now, with the banks lowering the rates, which I'm going to get to in a second, it's going to sound very good to, hey, let's do a debt consolidation loan into the bond and pay off all the credit cards and the car. Well, I did that once, and it sounds nice, but if you lack discipline, and many people do, you're going to have problems. What I did is I took out a consolidation loan and paid. And so we've been so indoctrinated into using our credit cards, you're going to continue to use your credit cards. And so what you now have done is you've turned your short-term credit card debt into long-term home bond debt or long-term consolidation debt plus credit cards again. And you know, it's you're digging yourself a much bigger hole to get out of. And if you really want to look at what the problem is, see, most people live on a monthly basis, which means they know what their minimum payments are on their bond, car, credit card, store accounts, overdraft, all that other good stuff. But in our course, we have the Money Management and Debt Nation. We have something called a debt position worksheet. All the rest of your home bond payments you still have to make, all the rest of the car payments and the credit cards and the store accounts, all those payments you still have to make. And when you see that number, it's going to freak you out. I always tell men, have a good stiff whiskey. Ladies, have a big box of Kleenex next to you, because it's a call to understanding of what the real problem is. And like when I was on the TV show, I told them, it's like Alcoholics Anonymous. You got to admit you have the problem before you can solve it. And if you live your life on minimum payments, you have no idea what you even owe. You know what I mean?
But Joe, I mean, there's a couple of things that have now kicked in for a lot of people. So you talk about alcoholics, right? Like a lot of us have now accepted, forget about, and Gord, you probably feel the same way. Like there's no holiday coming up anytime soon. Forget about holidays. Forget about going out and drinking with your buddies. Forget about expensive restaurants.
Overseas trips.
Yeah, none of that stuff's on the agenda for anyone except the major rich people in the world, the people who just have money to burn. And there are only a few of those. So all of that is done and dusted. And we don't even have to think about it because there aren't going to be any expensive restaurants for us to go to. Right?
Well, I kind of understand what you're saying. However, when you really look, and I always look, most people use a credit card at restaurants. And most people, according to the classes that we teach, pay the minimum payments. So they're actually going deeper every month. And, you know, with this, the first thing, come on, Garrett, the first thing that's going to happen when we get done with lockdown is that we're going to the Santon Sports Club. Come on, let's commiserate with everybody who's taking huge hits on their income. And they're playing it off like it doesn't hurt. Because you don't talk about money. You don't talk about God. You don't talk about, there's another one, politics.
Yeah.
When I think if you talk about all three personally, that's how they get away with what they get away with, you know. But I think it's going to just reconvene and people are going to have deeper issues. But, you know, and go have a few drinks and, you know, and to commiserate with people and to make it seem like it's not so bad. This is big topical stuff that we're talking about, you know. So I think they'll still do it. I think they'll maybe not. And forget the vacations and everything, because even as I say, with the home bond market, a lot of these people with these rental properties at the beach, they're going to be done. And, you know, it's the state of the housing market, if you will.
Yeah.
You know?
Now let's talk about that, because there's a friend of mine and he's got a job where he isn't really going to be affected as much as the rest of us by the lockdown or by COVID. So he holds on to his job. He's staying on the same salary. He works for a big corporation. And of course, that's not guaranteed, but he's safer than most of us, right? He's decided this is a good time to buy a property. What do you think of that?
Wow. I'd wait a little while, because when you looked at the aftermath of the 2008 world financial crisis, there were almost 200,000 houses in repossession and foreclosure in South Africa. And so what's going to occur is they're going to start coming on the market. Allow it to occur for quite a while, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because a lot of people are going to now excess bond their house to pay their debts. They're going to lower their monthly bond payments. They're actually taking, as I say, short-term debt and turning it into long-term debt.
So hold on.
I wait 12 to 18 months before I jumped in, because we all know what the housing market's about. And another good point of this is all those renters, you know, though I talk to people all the time. I buy houses and I rent them out, you know, and they do the characteristic. They let the renter pay the bond.
Yeah.
Well, that means you don't have any money for 20 years. That's what that means. So, and you got people who run out early, and you got damage, and you got renters who don't pay. And that right now is a significant problem. All those renters who are not paying, I mean, do you evict them? I mean, in certain states in America, they've changed so you can't evict people. Well, what's the eviction process here? Who pays that bond while they're not paying? This is more dope on top of your current financial issues, you know? And let's remember the divorce rate. 2 out of 3 divorces are from marriage. Okay. And, I mean, 2 out of 3 marriages end in divorce. And so you and your wife got this beautiful.
You're not so wrong. That wasn't a bad assessment.
All right. Faux pas. 2 out of 3 marriages fail in this country. And so you've got this rental property that's part of your retirement, and you're getting married. I mean, you're getting divorced. So now what happens to that property? You got to force sell it. Maybe at a loss, not for what you wanted, pay off the bond. What's little left goes to the lawyers, and you're done.
Yeah.
Simple. You're done. You know what I mean?
And so, and while we're, on marriage, I mean, kids are an expensive thing too, right? You should be very careful to not have kids at a time like this if you can possibly help it. If you, and again, everybody's circumstances are different, but kids are really expensive, and if you're going to have one, you need to know that you can support it and pay for it and care for it and feed the kid and put it in a good school and all that stuff, or else it's going to be a very bad situation for you later on down the line. Think about it very hard. It's a big financial decision. It's not just about love and producing a family or any of that stuff.
Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head right now, because you're locked down with your wife or your husband. So what are you going to do for fun? So there's a few people out there talking about another baby boom coming. But I agree with you there. And you know what really upset me? And I'm going to upset some people out there right now, but it really upset me. I watched the news the other day, and they were at the South African Social Security Agency, and the lady was complaining because they weren't taking any applications for new births. And, you know, I had nothing to do with it, but I'm paying for it. You know, as I said to the Minister of Health a long time ago, if you're in a certain socioeconomic situation and you get divorced, husband pays child support, blah, blah, blah. If you're in a different economic situation, you run and you go get a grant.
Yeah.
Where's the, you know, I mean, in America, we have NAG, or now they call it National Organization of Women. They show up outside your work with signs saying, Gareth is a deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
And they walk out there for a week and they shame you into paying your child support. You know what I mean? It is an issue having too many children, and it needs to be thought about. That's why we run a course for interns and new hires. And one of the first things I teach them, like I taught my son, don't have any children until you're in your 30s. Don't mistake sex for love, passion for love. I mean, if you really go back to the beginning, you know, you were in love. All their high school sweethearts and are now divorced. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, have some fun. Don't get married. Don't have kids till you're in your 30s, because you're on entry-level income. You will struggle. And the reason, most reason for divorce is finance.
Yeah, that's right. And people don't like to hear this stuff because it's uncomfortable. Now, Sian Mbulelo, do you have any questions for Joe? Because I know that everybody's climbing on the WhatsApp line as well this morning. I've got some questions from other people over here. 0797482090 if you want to ask Joe something, and we can put your questions to him. Sia, you got anything you want to ask?
Yeah, Joe, I know you don't have a crystal ball in front of you, but if you had to make a call based on what you've been hearing, the people you've been interacting with, how long do you think we'll be in an economically uncertain time?
3 to 5 years.
Okay.
You got to remember, the government has cut off income, taxes, sin taxes. They're already broke. They were broke going into this thing. Many people are losing jobs. Huge amounts of businesses are going to close. The unemployment's going to skyrocket. The tax base, who was taxed to the hilt already, is going to have to make up for this. So I'm already hearing about another VAT increase. You know what I mean? And I know that's minor, but for the poor people, it's not minor. But you have a lot of people who are going to be, as I say, you're going to have two family income homes down to one family income. Mm. You're going to have people who totally lose their job. You're going to have a glut in the housing market, a glut in the car market. And they still have these monthly payments and all these insurances and all this other stuff. This is going to take a while to recover. So from the macroeconomic standpoint, you know what I mean? Because there's levels of junk, see ya. One rung, there's a few more going down there. You know what I mean?
And so for the average person, do you think they'll be feeling some sort of this time for the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, well, it's if they take things with a serious game plan, contain and maybe gain, you know what I mean? But as I say, for those of you who for those two family incomes who lost a job, they were already living on a two family income. Their debt, which is, by the way, about 75% of their take home pay, is based on a two family income. So that just wiped them out. And this whole thing of, oh, work with the banks, they're going to help you. They're not going to help you. They're going to come. I saw, I won't mention the Red Bank, but I saw a truck that comes out to your house and takes your house.
What do you mean?
They're going to repossess houses.
You mean figuratively, they'll load your house onto a truck and take it away.
Yeah. And you stand there on an empty plot going, what?
All right, well, you've gone and done it again. You've given us a gloomy forecast, but it's realistic. And we can't be bullshitting ourselves at a time like this. We have to take control of what we can. We have to try to do as much as possible to mitigate the risk and not drive yourself into abject poverty, right?
They want to tell your people all these.
Hang on.
I mean, this is what we teach in our school.
Just start that again.
All these insurance.
I missed you there. Just start again.
You know, you've got to understand, in order for somebody to get ahead in life, they've got debt, they've got expenses, and then they've got all these insurances and investments. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, with life insurance, for example, and I've mentioned on your show before, the premium goes up every year, but the cover doesn't. Never happen. So you should have a fixed rate premium on your life insurance, because if you got R1 million in cover, when you use the rule of 72s that says kind of things have in its buying power every 7 years, mm-hmm. in 21 years, that R1 million's worth $125,000 in actual buying power.
Yeah.
It kept going up every year. You pay more and more and more, and you get less and less and less. So you need to fix that. You need to lower your car insurance premium, your house contents. This is the one they link to your car, and they give me these excuses. And I just did it with my new broker. So I've got some nice quotes here. My first broker, who now left for England, he said, well, it's an annual increase on your contents insurance, but it's not compulsory. Remember, your stuff is getting older. Now, this new broker says, I am unable to amend or remove the inflationary increase permission.
Without your permission.
Yeah, it's a quote. And there's another one. We suggest an annual inflationary increase. If you feel the amounts are correct and sufficient, I will be happy to amend. She also states, your home contents are currently insured for $400,000. Mm-hmm. Clothing, cutlery, loose appliances, furniture, etc. All the items in the home that are not fixed. So you have a loss, and the assessor confirms that the claimed amount is 50,000 Rand, and your replacement costs on all of the items are 800,000, not 400,000. Therefore, 50% of your claim will be paid as your 50% uninsured. First off, you know, they keep bringing up this. You got 400,000 Rand worth of clothes and cutlery and appliances. Burns down, okay. But if you're being robbed, they're not taking your cutlery and your appliances and your clothing and your furniture. And if you got ADT like I do, they're going to be here in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So lower your house contents insurance as well. They want to play that game. So my point is you got to control these insurances. And please.
Yeah.
And I saw you in the back there, Gareth. I hope you don't have pet insurance. I believe has pet insurance. Okay.
I do not. I know my dog is unhappy about this, but I do not. I don't think so. I must check.
Why shouldn't you, Joe?
Well, you know, we outlive them. And when they get old, and I've seen the dogs who can barely walk and are blind and all that, and they keep these dogs. And I understand he's part of the family. But when he dies, you just go to the vet, the dog up on the counter, and tell him, give me another one of these, and then you don't have to change the pictures in your house. See? they're going to die. They're going to get, you know what I mean? I'm a cat man myself. And, back in Chicago, I was an unfit parent because my cat stayed in and I didn't have shots when I went to get one from the SPCA. So they said I was an unfit parent, you know? So you get your cat, you get your dog, get shots and everything. Shit happens, man. It really does. You know, give them good food. I gave my cats Hill Science diet. Never had any problems with any of my animals. You know, see, it's this whole, oh, no, this could happen mentality. You could die. You could get a disease. You could get disabled. Mm-hmm. You could get in a car accident. Your dog's going to die. You pay for all this stuff and you're broke.
And so, alive. Joe,
well, kind of like the country, because our government did that. We're going to get this disease. It's going to wipe us out. It's coming to get us. And then look what happened. We ruined the economy in the process. And now we end up paying all the premiums for an eventuality that doesn't occur.
I was hoping you weren't going to go there, but the death rate is 0.0004%.
Correct.
You know, and they've shut down a country. And I have the statistics from Stats SA in front of me. Tuberculosis, 6.4%. HIV, 4.8%. Diabetes, 5.7%. We're talking 0.004.
Yeah.
And they shut down a country.
Bulelo, you want to go?
Yeah, Joe, you mentioned the word thing, which is very close to me. You said discipline. You know, my thing is exercise. So people often ask me, that speak to me, they say, where do you start with discipline, you know? And for me, I say, if you set an alarm clock, it's non-negotiable. That's you don't cancel it, you don't snooze. Otherwise, it's the first lie you've told yourself. Where would you say somebody could start on a rudimentary point on a path to financial discipline? As a start to call discipline.
Very, very close. I remember watching this 4-star general in the United States military saying, if you don't make your bed when you wake up, you've already failed your first task of the day. Mm. And so when I make my bed, and I do, I constantly, it's always around me, that saying. So I start there. And yes, you're right with the alarm clock. Because I had a buddy, Eddie, who might be listening in Chicago when he lived with me when he lost his house. Alarm clock would go off, snooze. 10 minutes later, snooze. 5 minutes later, and I used to tell him, you know, that extra 15 absolutely does nothing. I learned in the military, jump in the shower and you're awake. That's how easy that is. You know what I mean? A nice good cup of Java or some espresso, a double espresso, whatever, get you kick-started in the morning. But it is that type of discipline, which, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people in South Africa, they don't have that discipline, and especially the kids, you know, they take their clothes off and throw it on the floor because some domestic is going to pick it up. They leave their plate over here because somebody's going to pick it up. They so they're quite ill-disciplined from the get-go. That's a hard one to turn around. And I've got
I've got a friend who's got
a couple kids who just went through this. I'm not going to mention his name. He's listening right now, but he did what I went through in essence, you know, where the kids, they just expect things all the time and we give it to them. So we're perpetuating this problem, you know, so whose fault is it? It's ours. So yeah, rigid structure. Good. And I like the morning thing. I'm about ready to start riding my bicycle back on that thing now and lose a little weight. Because I, you know, in the lockdown, I don't know, I might have had a little too much to eat because I eat for a living. And, but yeah, I like that idea of starting in the morning and getting going. But you've got to look at all your debts. What do your payments add up to on the bond, on the car? How much do you really owe? Because like I said, you got to admit you have the problem. Once you admit it, now you can see what you're working with because it's going to take time. And, you know, a lot of businesses are small, especially smaller businesses, aren't even going to reopen. But a lot of bigger businesses, and I just read Barlow World is now having retrenchment, you know, and that world for many years. So hopefully a lot of those people, and not hopefully, but a lot of those people followed our advice, you know. So they're in a position, and all of a sudden you don't get to come back to work. So what do you do? So it's just started the problems that they're going to have. So they really need to hunker down and put a plan of action in place immediately.
Well, that's why we get you here, Joe. So if you want to find out more, you can follow Joe on social media. You can also go to his website. What is your website, Joe? Give it a plug for everybody.
Financialfitnesstraining.coza. I do want to mention one more thing.
Financialfitnesstraining.co.za. Right, go ahead.
Yeah. I want to mention one other thing that's very, very important. With the lowering of the rates, and it might occur again this week, the banks are going to want to lower your home bond payment. And I want to just throw out some real quick numbers. So I know it's math, so I'll go slow. House, your payment at 9.75%, which is where it used to be, would be $9,500, let's call it, okay?
Yeah.
If it drops 2%, it goes to $8,200.
Mm-hmm.
If you left it at that 9.75% or the 9,500 Rand payment,
yeah,
you would take out of 62 months, 5 years off your bond.
Jesus, 62 months?
Yeah, you would save 588,000 Rand.
Wow.
That's a half a bar. It's a half a bar. That's what we in Santon call million. Okay. Now, if it drops again, 7.5, let's just say, your new payment would be 7,600. But if you left it at the old rate, you would chop 79 months. That's almost 7 years off your bond, and you would save almost 750,000 Rand.
That's amazing. Amazing.
And the key there is by chopping those almost 7 years, your kids may be going to college.
Yeah.
You don't have a 9,000 Rand a month house payment anymore. You damn sure got a school payment for the kid, and you can give them a good education and kick them out when they're 21. I mean, 22.
All right, Joe, thank you so much, man. Always good to check in with you. Joe
Camino, anytime, Gareth. Go get him, man.
Thanks, man. Joe Camino, always some very, very handy, but not necessarily pleasant advice. You got to swallow this bitter pill. Okay. I want to introduce you to someone who also is one of the smartest people in South Africa. His name is Professor Brian Cantor, and he is, among other things, he's one of Investec's main advisors. He has been an emeritus professor for some time. He's been the dean of commerce at UCT. He knows his stuff. You want to hear a man who talks about money sensibly? You want to hear about a man who's an economy macro strategist? This is the dude to listen to, and we spoke to him just a day or two ago, and I got the download from him and what he thinks of lockdown and what he thinks the best course of action is for us going forward. We also got into some interesting discussions around more controversial aspects of what the COVID-19 crisis is revealing and where there might be opportunities and who he thinks are going to be the most prone to be taken up by this situation we all find ourselves in. So if you want to hear from the smartest people, you've come to the right place, cliffcentral.com. here we are, Joe Camino, and then Professor Brian Cantor, and of course you got us every morning. And if you want to, you know, suggest anything, you've got some ideas, you want to give us some feedback, all you have to do is send me a message on 0797482090. You can talk directly to us on the show, or you can send us an email, gareth@cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.